James 4:7-10. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Tonight we're going to identify the enemy and learn how to wage war with the right mindset and the best weapons. In the drama, we tried to show a person that was blindsided by Satan and his demons. In the spiritual world, there is warfare going on, and if we don't see it with our eyes, that doesn't mean we're not experiencing it, and it doesn't mean that it's not all around us. The battle is real. And one of the big questions that people always ask is, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, there's a spiritual warfare going on, and there's heaven, and there's hell. And guess where the battlefield is? Right here. We're smack dab in the middle of it, and we're a huge part of it, because they're battling over us. And there's also the reason that sometimes bad things are necessary for our spiritual journey. It is the suffering that brings us to the end of ourselves to receive all that God has for us. Not fun, but life involves suffering and joy and comfort, pain and anxiety and spiritual temptation. Even Jesus had to go through the spiritual temptation. So, the spiritual warfare, yeah, it's going on. But there are good reasons for it, and it is a reality. Now, in this culture, Satan gets at us through our thoughts and our emotions. He suggests things. And that, the depiction of that was the black shrouds that weighted your gown. Now, he uses people around us and circumstances and even our own decisions and thoughts. He targets our minds and our hearts so that he can falter our faith. Because what is his goal? To distance us from God. He wants us separated from God just like he is. John Wesley's commentary says, Satan's wicked spirits continually oppose faith, love, and holiness, either by force or by fraud. That means in lies. And that they labor, this is really nasty, they labor to infuse unbelief, pride, idolatry, malice, anger, and hatred into the human mind and heart. They're up to no good. Now this whole scene was kind of like a scary movie, wasn't it? Sorry, it was a little sinister for you. But think about it. Sam's just on the phone up there, and that's how it works. It's as easy as that. You're on the phone, you're having a nice conversation, and then there's this miscommunication. There's this moment like, hey. And then it starts going south. They trigger your insecurities or hurt. You start feeling like, hey, I can't believe she said that to me. And then you start accessing that file that you're not supposed to have, that record of wrongs. Hey, you know what? When was the last time she really encouraged me? She's always putting me down. I can't believe that. And then you realize that your emotions have really kicked in, and the hurt and the anger and the mistrust and all those things start driving your thought processes. And that's when problems happen. Because our emotions, they were given to us by God, but when they're leading, then we're in trouble. They are not meant to lead us. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be the thing that leads us. And our emotions are the very thing that the enemy can work on. They're so changeable. They're so easily influenced. And the enemy comes in and he embellishes those emotions and he taints them with his suggestions and his lies. And we start thinking things like, what's her problem? I wish I had a good BFF. Everybody else has good friends. Here I am, all alone with a crummy friend. Why am I so lonely?
I don't have to think.
Life is hard. You know, my life sucks. We can't go in the toilet. end of your conversation in your head, you're defeated in your friendship, you're defeated about yourself, and you're defeated about God in one phone call. Imagine what the enemy could do with something bigger if he can do that with one phone call. So in that FBI story that I just talked to you about, I just described how we run around in our head like that. The problem is we didn't access God. We didn't look for him. We didn't call out to him. We didn't listen. It's just a huge FBI story concocted in our head because of one misspoken word. And we just go down the vortex into the toilet. So if he can do that with one phone conversation, imagine what he can do with the biggies in life. Financial strains, those kind of things. Broken relationships. Loss and grief in our lives. He can really take us to bad places if we let him. And what he can do in just a moment is take us on a completely joyless ride. He can blind us to the goodness of God because we just focus on the circumstance. We forget to look up at God. He can cause us to stop accessing the Holy Spirit. We just reason. Let me reason that out one more. Let me try to problem solve that. Wait, let me look at it from this angle instead of accessing the Holy Spirit. He can cause us to turn away from the peace of God. He can cause us not to access the Word. I know, the truth of God works for her, but right now it's not working for me. But we have responsibility in that. And he can cause disunity like that. And that's what he can do in one phone call. He wants to take us straight to doubt and discouragement. And discouragement is hopelessness. Our hope is in Christ. Honestly, when we're severed from God, we don't have hope. We really need him to have hope. Those FBI stories, they basically are the fearful what-ifs. The me first and all about me mentality. And those are Satan's playground. When we run around inside our heads, we create an absolute playground for Satan. We give him all kinds of material to work with. So here's what we need to do. We need to climb out of our heads. Climb out and get to the end of ourselves and the end of our own thinking and the end of just relying on our own reasoning. Because that is the first thing we go to. But it doesn't work in spiritual warfare. It's not effective against the devil. In Ephesians 6:12, it tells us, "For we did not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Remember, heaven and hell on the earth. We don't have what it takes in and of ourselves to fight this battle. Oh. That reminds me of a story. I'm going to tell you this story. It was really good about having the right weapons. One of my first mission trips was I got to go to Maui and live there for the summer. I was suffering for the families, you get to go boogie boarding and windsurfing and snorkeling with the family. But then you take care of the kiddos when the parents are at meetings at night. But you still get to do all the outreach and the Jesus stuff, so it's really an awesome experience. I learned a lot staying with that family. So this one night, the parents were at a meeting, and I was taking care of the two boys. They were 3 and 5. And we had just got done playing Star Wars, and it was time to put toys away because it was bedtime. Well, in Hawaii, there are a lot of salamanders and insects and things, right? And we were living in a nice place. These guys were on steroids. They were, I'm not kidding you, they were huge. And they ran out on the floor, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm supposed to be the brave one. I'm the babysitter. So I tell the boys, okay, you guys, I got this. You guys go on the couch. And I'm thinking, I do not want to be on the floor with these things. So I grab the first thing that's close to me, which is a fly spotter. Oh. And I'm like, and I'm like, smack, 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 bam. Well, a fly spotter just kind of bends over the back of the head. And they have this really hard exoskeleton. And when there are steroids, it's like really hard. Being the exterminator specialist that I am, I realized focus isn't working. So I'm looking kind of in a panic, like, okay, I gotta get something. And I see my sandals. So I grab my sandals and I go after them again. And they're kind of scurrying around. And I'm really, really getting the heebie-jeebies. And I'm, you know, I'm whacking in with my sandals. And the boys are kind of looking at me like, am I a sandal? We just kind of bounce up and down. Oh, so gross. So by this time, my pride's getting in there. Like, I don't want them to tell their parents when they get home that I couldn't save them. Okay, you know, I couldn't take care of business. So I close my eyes and I just say this really spiritual prayer. God, help me kill those suckers. And I open my eyes and God answers those kind of prayers because I, all of a sudden, I see these cabbages. Here, Mike's cabbage, which is the pastor. He's huge. He's a big dude. And I got it. So I run over there and I grab those and it's one on each hand and I'm like, all right, it's like Ghostbusters. And, but I had the heebie-jeebies so bad that I had to kind of get myself going. So I just go postal. These cockroaches. Ah! And they're screaming, and I can hear them crunching. And I just look at the boys in the corner of my eye, and they're like, but once they were dead, they were just like, woo! They're doing their whole victory dance on the couch. And then we went and got the pizza boxes from dinner and we're scooping up the carcasses, shoving them outside. Anyway, it made me think of, you really need to have the right weaponry. And you need to know your hard exoskeleton, that kind of thing. So God has told us to stop trusting in ourselves and our own thinking, especially when dealing with the spiritual enemy. He says, lean not on your own understanding. He told us that the battle belongs to Him, to hand it over. And I think sometimes we just downright refuse. No, I got this. Thank you, God. I got it. But instead, we take those thoughts and those emotions and we look at them and we investigate them and we mull it over. And you know what? We're just helping the enemy to plunge us into confusion and turmoil, into more wrestling. Much of the spiritual conflict that we're in is due to undisciplined thinking. Isn't it? Yeah, it is. And you know, undisciplined thinking is not taking the truth as our own. And that's unbelief. And saying no to God, I got this, is spiritual rebellion. Ouch. That's kind of hard hitting. But we have got to extract these things from our lives. The truth is, we are one decision away from victory. One decision away. We think we're underneath it all, like in the drama. Oh, I've always done this Dwayne, here he comes again. But we are one decision away from victory. I don't care how many times you believed a lie from the enemy, one decision away. One act of the will away from freedom. So here's how it goes. If you identify that you're dabbing again, oh, I'm doing it again, God, just hand it to him. Don't beat yourself up. Oh, gosh, I'm like Eeyore. I'm a spiritual Eeyore. God's not surprised. Just hand it to him. That self-talk, we're going to knock it off. You find yourself self-talking again? Excuse me, I need to interrupt myself. God, could we converse for a while? We have got to get back to conversing with God and not with ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's just looping. And here's the deal, though. Our hearts long for those familiar patterns. And when we decide to say no to those things, we are going to feel like we've left our best friend. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying we have to do it. Otherwise, we are helping ourselves into defeat. Sometimes, the pain in our lives has to be so great that it's greater than the pain of change for us to take that act of will. I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm saying if we really do that, freedom's on the other side. It's worth it in the end. So spiritually speaking, that is deny yourself, take up your cross. And it's interesting because in the context of the prayer and the scripture that we talked about, it says that if we resist him, that there's no material for him to hurt us. I'm not saying we won't go through sorrow and those kinds of things, but the difference is when you're infused with God, when you're connected with God and you're not in here, it's a completely different experience. My concern is not that we are just confused and beaten down, but my concern is that it saddens our Abba Father. He's sad when we buy into the Satan's strategies because it really does distance us from him. It really does weigh us down. And his idea for our life is so much greater than that. It's so much greater than that. And it's so much bigger than us. It's really sad when God's people walk around like victims. We are not victims. We're soldiers. We are warrior women. We are not victims. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ to a fallen world. That is pretty doggone special. That he would rely on us, invite us in to be that with him. So I don't want to miss that opportunity because I'm busy being beaten down over here. So what does it take to rise above and really be healthy and joyfully spiritual? Oh, I'm spiritual. Just following God. I can't smoke dope and jump rope naked anymore. God's all these rules and regulations. He's love. He's a relationship. He's the thing that lifts us up out of the mess. Got a little excited there. There's this song, Out of My Mind by Anthem Lights. There's this great little chorus in there. I'm going to sing it. Truly, I know. Scary. No, it goes like this. No, excuse me. Get me out of my head and into your heart. It's not about me. It's not about me. So I'm going to start playing my part in your design. Now is the time. Get me out of my mind. Isn't that great? So now it's okay to say, how are you doing? I am out! God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit. Submit means to yield the control to another, which in this case obviously is God. Now, to yield the control means we have to give it up. That's tough stuff, isn't it? We have to not white-knuckle it anymore and loosen our grip. Now, you see these kites all around here? There's a reason for that. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. In kite flying, when you're flying a kite, novice kite flyers, the newbies, the beginners, tend to hold the string really close to the kite. And then they're kind of rustling it in the wind. And then they're thinking, no, it's not getting up very high. So then they start running with the kite, right? So you're working really hard to get the kite up in the air, up above the turbulent air, so that it kind of soars like a hawk up there, and then there's no nosedives. What I learned from the kite specialists who have been flying kites for over 30 years at the old Sacramento kite shop, that's the dumbest way you can ever fly a kite. Like, really? And this is how you're supposed to do it. The seasoned kite flyers loosen their string out to the end, towards the end of the line, and they stand firm. Well, that's kind of boring, isn't it? But it's a heck of a lot easier. And they just kind of flip the kite just a little bit. And then the wind comes in up from underneath as they flip it just a little bit and lifts the kite up above the turbulent air, and then it begins to soar on those sides. Isn't that the coolest thing? And so that's kind of like our lives. We're supposed to get to the end of ourselves, kind of lay it out there. And what does the word say the Holy Spirit is? The wind. One of the names for the Holy Spirit is the wind. And so then the Holy Spirit comes in and he lifts us up above the turbulence of our lives. And then we soar. Isn't that beautiful? Just love God. Now, in that scripture it says to resist. Now, resist means to stand against, to oppose. So that doesn't mean to go and start running, right? Oh, no! Because guess what? There's no armor over your fanny. Woo! You get a fiery arrow right in the fanny. Uh-oh. So, she liked that word, fanny. Them. We're not afraid. God has the authority, and we're his daughter, and we are on the winning team. So we don't need to run. So we need to use the truth of the word, and Satan's got to get out of here. Now, what that means is we spend time in the word. We have to know what the word is to use the word to apply it to our lives. And Satan hates it. He just hates it. Because there's no playground for him in the word. It says he has to flee. So the minute we speak it out, even when we start thinking of it, he's like, uh-oh, she really is one of his. And in context of this scripture, resist means he has to flee and vanish. It says that he has to depart from what is concerning you. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. This stuff. He has to depart from it. When we stand there and go, I'm not going there with you in the name of Jesus Christ, because the word says that I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. And it says, I'm going to resist you, and I'm doing it right now. Now, the scripture says to come near to God, and he will come near to you. The Christian is armed for defense and battle by God himself.
Christian is.
So if we are God's child, then he is our shield. And he realizes that you have invited him in. And he comes and he enfolds us. And he is our refuge. If we don't know him, he's not going to come over and go, because that would scare you to death, wouldn't it? He's not going to do that unless we ask for him. So it's important to ask God in so that you have that shield and that protection. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is our shield. We are underneath his everlasting arm. Now we have a part in this. And that is that he says to us, our responsibility is to put on the full armor of God. We have to invest in this ourselves as well. So in Ephesians 6:14 through 17, it tells us the full armor of God. Stand firm, which is resist. And then you put on the belt of truth buckled around your waist so you can discern the enemy's lies. And then have the breastplate of righteousness in place because you know who you are. You are a daughter of the King in the righteousness of Christ. And whatever Jesus tells you you are, you are. Whatever Satan's trying to tell you, he's like, oh no. I am saved, I am sanctified, and I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And then you have the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know the word, you proclaim it. For yourself in freedom, and for the rest of the world, because it's our responsibility to further the kingdom. It's not just about us and Jesus. He has a bigger plan. In addition to that, we have the shield of faith. I don't believe the lies. This is what I live by. This and only this, the Bible, the truth. And that is what extinguishes all those flaming arrows. That's why we don't do this. And then we have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, so we know beyond a shadow of a doubt we're saved. It's a done deal. Even if I'm a total flake, the worst sinner in the world today, I'm saved because Christ is faithful. Not because I am. He forgives me my flakiness. He is faithful. And then the sword of the Spirit, it's awesome because the other pieces are our protection. The sword is the attack. And Sam wasn't holding back up there. You got to go for it. You don't back off. You move in. That's the weapon of attack. And that's the sword of the Spirit. And all that is, girls, is a single text of a scripture. Well understood and rightly applied to our lives and said out loud. Boom, the thoughts change. Boom, the devil has to flee. Suddenly it doesn't look so overpowering. One scripture can do that because the Word of God trumps the enemy every time. Every time. Let's identify the enemy for a minute, because you might have a strong exoskeleton. As I said before, it's Satan, and Satan was created by God. And in Ezekiel 28, it says that he was given the highest authority underneath God. He was pretty special, pretty important. But then, he got a little jealous. And he wanted to exalt himself. He wanted to become just like God. He wanted to be worshipped like God. He rebelled. And other angels joined him. And so God banished them from the heavens. And so the first time we see him after that is chapter 3, Genesis. And he doesn't come as this angelic, majestic, almost as lovely as God appearance. He's a serpent.
good.
So he's in the garden as a serpent, and he does this thing. He lies to Adam and Eve, and they believe him, and they don't obey God's word, and he leads them straight out into the downfall, which affects them. They get excommunicated from the garden, and all of mankind now exists in a fallen state. So let's learn from their mistake. What we need to understand is we don't need to grandize Satan. He's a fallen angel. He's a created being. We need to just keep it in perspective. God is on our side, and he has all the authority. John 10:10 says, there is this enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, and his name is Satan. Another name for him are devil, accuser of the brethren, liar, father of lies, and deceiver. And a deceiver is someone who presents a lie, and you're like, oh, that sounds like truth to me. Or he takes the truth and makes it sound like it's not for real, it's not true. And here's the kicker. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit to help us have discernment. Is he speaks in our own voice inside of our head. So the thoughts feel like they're us. Because Satan is taking our old self, our pre-Jesus self, and he keeps trying to resurrect us and have us live in that and think in that. Dirty son of a gun. He's not very creative. He keeps doing that. But he can be extremely effective. So we have to be very discerning and identify it right away. Wait a minute. That's a goofy thought. So our knee-jerk reaction is to fall right back into the old patterns of thinking when he's doing that suggesting inside of our head. And then we start thinking independently of God, and we start looping again. And as a Christian, that is called double-mindedness. And it's not a good weapon against the enemy. In fact, this is what it's like. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm saved by Jesus Christ. But you know, I don't believe a doggone another word of the Bible. I pretty much think that Peter, James, and John were full of it. I don't really stake my life on those words. I don't really believe them, but I go to church. Now that sounds ridiculous to say out loud, but that's how we live sometimes. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bust us on that too. He wants to bust our butts on that. He wants us to be effective for the kingdom. Because it's a joyous thing. It's with him. Go team! That kind of thing. Let's take a look at this. Imagine in your head a balance scale. You know, the two bucket things. Remember elementary math? And on the one side, you're going to put in all the thoughts this week about your emotions, your feelings, and just, you know, how I feel about life, and what's been happening to me. And on this side of balance scale, you're going to put in all the time you spent meditating on God's word. And then you want to look at that balance scale. Is it tipping this way? Or is it tipping this way? Emotions inside my head, running around, or is it the Word of God standing firm? We're hoping it's this way, because that is where the joy and the freedom and the sanity is. And that's where we rise above and overcome. So you start through your week, just take time. Okay, I'm just going to think about the balance scale for a minute. Check yourself. Let the Holy Spirit help you with that. He'll let you know. Now, all those ways of thinking are very cumbersome. And what happens is, if we stay in the old way of thinking, trying to reason through life with our old patterns, it's kind of like baggage. No, 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 it's all right, God, I got this. We become so full of ourselves that we can't even fit the armor of God on anymore. It's very cumbersome. We are not even fit for battle. And I want you to know what that looks like. I have a demonstration here.
Do you want to serve in the church? You want to
Pray with our sister. We want to feel spiritual. But the best place we can be, and the first and foremost place we need to be, is we need to be on our bottoms, reading and praying and listening and receiving from our Father. Or we're not ready for battle. Because guess what? That's where we're waging war. Is in prayer. In the Word. That's where the battle is really fought and won. That's where the power is to demolish those strongholds. That's important. Living close to God is the sure defense against evil. So, why does it work? Because the moment we cry out to our Dad, He's there. If you've ever been a parent and your little one cries out to you, you don't go, oh, just a minute. No, no, no. You go, oh, and you help pick them up. You brush off their bloody little knees. That's exactly how God is. He's our Father. He's our parent. The Word says in Romans 8:31, the Word says, when He is for us, who can be against us? Are you asking God into everything in your life? Because He's a gentleman, He will not force Himself on you. He has given you free will and choice. And He honors His Word. And He wants you to ask Him in. Ask Him into your conversations on the phone with your sister. Ask Him into your relation time with your husband. Ask Him into those decisions that you're making.
Totally overcome with hopelessness, I have God's point of view on it. from I want to leave too. I want to die too. To wait a minute, I'm still here. I don't want to miss one glory moment. I am here for a reason, and when I transition, I want a party.
Yeah.
I want Jesus to go, "Job, well done, my good and faithful servant." And my mom and dad go, "Yeah! Job, well done! And you're here. Chain's not broken anymore." So, we gotta ask him into all this stuff, girls. We're not to do it on our own, and we're not to think our way through it. There's something really important we need to take care of. The scripture says, "Wash your hands, you sinners." We don't walk up to each other and say, "Hey, sinner, how's it going?" We don't like to be called sinners, do we? But we are. We're sinners. And we need our hearts purified. And we can't do it. "Oh, I'm just going to be better today." And 2 seconds into it, we can't do it. We need God to help us. We need God to lift us up out of our glorious little messes. And it says to grieve and mourn and wail. You're like, "Oh, that sounds fun. Thanks, God." But what he's saying here is he wants us to hate our sin enough to say, "God, help me walk away from it. Don't let me be comfortable in this. Give me holy dissatisfaction with it." Otherwise, we'll stay in it because we're sheep. And sheep aren't very smart. John Wesley says, "All sin must be wept over. It's called godly sorrow." Not condemnation, but godly sorrow. So that means we need to confess our wrongs to Christ. We don't even have to confess them to other people unless Jesus tells us to, because he's our high priest. So we don't have some big heavy guilt thing on us, like, "Oh, I'm doing the same sin again." Release it. Give it to him. Get it over with. Let him cleanse you so you can move on. The great thing about God is he comforts us immediately when we mourn over our sins. "That's right, girlfriend. Good job. Here I am. You're clean. I forgive you." And then he lifts us up out of it. That's what humbling ourselves is. Because sometimes we don't want to look at that. "But God, you know, I do this in church, and I was good to my girlfriend I prayed for, and I heard that word of knowledge." Yeah. But over here, it's looking a little murky. He wants our whole heart to be filled with him. None of the murky stuff. And you know, God always takes possession of a surrendered will. Godliness is perfecting the art of early surrender. Do it as fast as you can. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes, when I'm talking with women, we beat ourselves up about not being good enough. "Oh, I'm still doing this," or "I should have done that." Well, God's not surprised. That's why Jesus died. And honestly, our weakness is our greatest strength. It's our greatest strength. Because the Lord is to fight the battle. So our inability is our advantage, because we go faster and faster to God in our weakness, and he becomes our strength. "I can't do this." But you can. If it's that quick, we're ready to rock and roll. We've got the power. Got the power. I won't sing our promise. In Psalm 73:26, it says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart." That completely walks us around hopelessness. We just chomp on it. Because, yeah, we're going to fail. "Oh, you failed? Yeah, I knew you would. It's that easy. Oh, you failed again? Yeah, I knew you would. God's not surprised. He is our strength. He is our portion forever. It never runs out. He never gets tired of being our strength. He never gets tired of rescuing us. He thrives on it because he loves us, because we're his daughters. So what does surrender really mean? It's kind of hard to do that. But it means to place ourselves in his hands. Okay, I'm just going to sit here and relax. Oh, but I have to go over and do this stuff. I don't know. Come on back. Let's just sit in your lap. And when we're in his lap, we're under his watchful eye and his care. And we're relieved of all that extra pressure. And we're under his wings of protection. And we are immersed in his Holy Spirit, his power to overcome. That is the kind of God we have. And we just went through one tiny section of scripture. And there's a whole game plan there to overcome and to conquer. We just have to purpose in our hearts to believe it and to apply it to our lives. Now, girls, it's time to examine our hearts. If you have any question in your mind that you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, I need you to pray with us tonight, because he cannot be your protector unless you believe who he is, that he is God who sent his only son to die for you so that you can live forever with him in his love and care. If there's any question, please pray with us. God is faithful. If you're questioning yourself or having doubts, let us pray for you. It's important. We are the family of God, and we're here to pray for you. Secondly, if you feel like you've been underneath it, like Sam was underneath those dark shrouds, then you need to be prayed over. You need to be released from old patterns of thinking. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power to overcome, to not allow those lies and those suggestions of the enemy to be truth to you. I am dead serious about this, because as I prayed and as the team has prayed over this, the Lord wants to loose those things from us because they render us ineffective. What is the point of living? What is the point of living if we allow ourselves to be underneath that mess? And we all have our times. Don't be embarrassed about it. Just get prayer. God looks at you and he sees only potential. He sees you through the blood of his son. He sees you one decision away from victory. Make that decision. Remember I said the battle is in prayer? Oh yeah, I'm going to go and get prayed over again. No, it's not like that. We storm the gates of hell in prayer. The gates of hell. The demons are like, ah! Like in the drama when we decide to pray. They're like, oh, no, no, do that! They're doing it again. They do not want us to pray, because then the Holy Spirit comes in and he gets the job done. So if I don't see you girls praying this weekend, I'm going to spank your butt. All right. I love you. Lord loves you.